Psst. Igor. Dude, the show's starting.
Welcome to another edition of The Right Wing Riot with your hosts, the scary smart Jamie K. Wilson.
Every morning when I get late, should I go in and report to my boss?
The mysterious and alluring Ms. Always Right.
Do we think that this is going to start being as obviously stupid to everyone as it is to us?
And Griff Griffiths, who is the Prince of White Men. Let's get this riot started!
Special edition of the Right Wing Riot. We might call it the incarcerated edition, since the Right Wing Riot is in internet jail this week, while our team of crackhead lawyers... Igor corrected me. The correct term is, while our crack team of lawyers works to get us out, we've put together a special edition, the best of the Right Wing Riot, Volume 1, 2014. We hope you enjoy it, and we'll be back next week to rock your world and to bring you more of the public service satire you need now. First up, something very contemporary, our exclusive interview with John Gruber, the architect of Obamacare. Time for another Right Wing Riot exclusive, an interview with the architect of Obamacare, MIT professor John Gruber. Hosted for you by Ms. Always Right.
Let's turn it over to Ms. Always Right, who did some darn dogged investigative work to secure this interview.
It was not easy.
Professor John Gruber.
Yeah, I don't even want to talk about what I had to do to get this interview, because obviously it's pretty important. Yeah.
Was there anything squishy that had to occur?
I just said I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I was just looking for a hint. That's all.
There are very few limits to what I will do for my craft. Okay. Let's just put it that way. I will tell you that one thing I had to do was to assure him that I am also an Ivy League graduate, that I went to the same Ivy League university as President Obama and Attorney General Holder. So I was trying to explain to him that, you know, I'm therefore considered officially a member of the ruling class, and I am marginally qualified to gaze upon him and speak to him. And once I was able to make him understand that, he did become a little more amenable to this interview, and I was able to secure an agreement for him to come to the studio and be interviewed. And Igor, is he here yet?
Yes. Okay, Igor is slapping a set of headphones on him right now. I think he is ready to go.
I cannot tell you guys how excited I am. Do you believe the star power, the brain power that we have in our studio? This is an amazing day. So anyway, obviously we're incredibly blessed and privileged to have with us today Mr. Jonathan Gruber, genius extraordinaire, also known as the architect of the Affordable Care Act. Mr. Gruber, welcome. First of all, let me just say, congratulations on your successful work on the ACA.
It's important to recognize, you know, they call it the dismal science. There's some evidence for why, which if you poll people on what they like about the Affordable Care Act, they like everything except the two things we like.
Oh, wow. You sound like you probably got your ass kicked a lot in high school, didn't you? But anyway, I do want to get back to that point. So you're saying, in other words, that your polling showed that Americans did not like the aspects of the ACA that you liked. So, you know, in other words, you kind of knew from the start that no one wanted this law because they're so stupid. And yet you persevered, and you pushed, and you obfuscated, and you did whatever needed to be done to get the Affordable Care Act passed. So this is correct?
This bill was written in a tortured way to make sure CBO did not score the mandate as taxes. If CBO scored the mandate as taxes, the bill dies. Okay, huh. So it's written to do that.
Oh, wow, that is just brilliant. My God. So gosh, you deliberately hid the true nature of the law so you could get it through the bureaucratic process. You are so brilliant, my God. But, you know, I was thinking about this. What about the American people? Were there any political tricks you needed to use to get this unpopular piece of legislation through?
Lack of transparency is a huge political advantage.
Uh-huh.
And basically, you know, call it the stupidity of the American voter or whatever. But basically, that was really, really critical to getting the thing to pass.
Of course. Yeah. So let me just clarify. You mean it was the voters who actually voted for President Obama whose stupidity you were counting on. I see. And apparently it worked. Absolutely. But, wow, don't you think that that was a bit of a chance to take? I mean, how could you have been so sure that we, the people, wouldn't figure out what you were up to?
Because all you of Earth are idiots.
Whoa. That's a little weird. I'm not really sure that's the case. But anyway, obviously, the ACA is the greatest gift ever bestowed upon the American people, even if they are, as you say, idiots and too stupid to realize it. Do you have, though, any thoughts on why, if you had just been honest up front, Americans would have rejected the ACA?
To get a law which said healthy people are going to pay in, it made explicit the healthy people pay in and sick people get money, it would not have passed.
Oh. Well, you know, far be it from me to question any pearl of wisdom that comes from your oversized brain, of course. But, yeah, let me just play devil's advocate. Are you being a little cynical? Because, I mean, no one likes to see someone else suffer. Americans are known to be a very generous people, after all. And don't you think if you had maybe just been honest with Americans up front, they might have actually been happy to chip in and figure out a way to help the disadvantaged?
This is the basest sentimentality. This is a child of prayer. Pathetic.
He does not have a lot of faith in the Americans, I guess. Okay. I guess we know where you stand on that issue. Yeah, he's severe today. Let's move on. Let's move on to the passage of the law itself. Once the law was deemed to have been passed, what did you and the other architects do?
Marveled at its beauty, its genius.
Oh, God. I bet.
Hey.
Sir, it really was an act of genius, yeah.
I need to do more of that, apparently.
Well, Mr. Groover, now that the ACA has begun to be enacted, what do you think of it today?
The peak of your civilization. I say your civilization because as soon as we started thinking for you, it really became our civilization, which is, of course, what this is all about.
What? Wait, what? Thinking for us? Well, surely you cannot mean you don't trust us Americans to think for ourselves. Or is this what you meant when you said you relied on the stupidity of the American voter? Mr. Groover, I'm so honored to have you here today. Please don't take this the wrong way. But I kind of think Americans maybe are qualified to think for themselves.
You see? Your stupid minds.
What?
Stupid! Stupid!
What? Hey, I beg your pardon. That is enough of that. You know, it's really starting to sound like you don't even have a lot of respect for your fellow Americans. What is your problem with regular people, anyway?
It's the smell. Is there
the
a such thing? I feel saturated by it.
Oh.
I can taste your stink.
Oh.
Every time I do, I fear that I've somehow been infected by it. It's repulsive.
Repulsive? What? My God, who the hell do you think you are?
Wait. Igor is waving.
What is wrong with this guy?
Wait, Igor's waving. He's saying there's something's wrong with Mr. Gruber's headset. Just a second. We're going to try to fix that.
Oh, my God.
Try not to, you know, upset the guest too much.
He's pissing me off. Don't you think he's getting a little rude, you guys?
Well, yeah. Let's see. Wait, I think it's almost working. It may be a little unclear. Hold on. I want to ask that question again.
I just was
wondering.
Who does he really think he is what I was wondering.
Okay, well, darn it. Igor, hit that thing again.
That's all right. If he's a...
Okay, here it is.
Yeah.
This is the answer. Igor, is it ready?
I am like God and God like me. I am as large as God. He is as small as I. He cannot above me, nor I beneath him be.
Wow, we like ourselves. My goodness.
Wow, wow. Wow. Okay. Whew. Did y'all get that? I wasn't sure if the headset was working there.
What is he?
Wait, what's he doing? Igor, wait a minute. No, he's yanking up.
Where is he going? Oh my God! Did he just walk out?
Wow.
He just walked
geez.
Out, didn't he?
Yeah.
Gotta check those headsets.
I'm sorry.
You know, I don't know about you guys, but he came across as a little arrogant to me. That's kind of how he seemed there.
He came across as a little, they live to me.
Yeah. Jeez.
All right.
Well,
great
anyway,
John Carpenter reference there. Wow. I got to say, this is like perfect 60-minute stuff because didn't, you know, in the heyday of 60 Minutes when they actually went after, you know, corruption and evildoers, they had a lot of people stomp out of their interviews. So well done is always right.
I guess I asked him the difficult questions. I thought I was trying to be as deferential as possible, you know, in respect for his superior intellect and ruling class status and so forth. But I guess
yeah.
not.
Wow. Well, you know, I thought it went well, other than Igor screwing up. You know, he stepped on the cord. I saw it happen.
Oh,
I just saw the cord compress. Igor.
Well, you're the one who tries to cram it.
You know, I'm trying to be, you know, equal opportunity, affirmative action, not be a speciesist and hire an elephant. I don't know.
I don't
we
know
may
either.
Need to have a meeting of the board and discuss my hiring practices.
I think that he did a good job. I just
well,
I think that Mr. Gruber, he got kind of agitated at the end there. And, you know, frankly, I don't know what interviewer could have handled him. When he gets his dudgeon up, you know, he's kind of hard to control.
Wow. Okay.
You mean real interviewer, of course. You don't mean like Ronan Farrow.
Yeah, a real interviewer
yeah.
like that, yeah.
Yeah.
A highly qualified, years of experience, yeah.
Someone who asks actual questions.
Yeah. Maybe we should have given him the questions ahead of time. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you should have just flattered him and let him talk.
Yeah.
He seems to have no trouble with that.
Yeah.
As long as he's in front of a microphone and a bunch of an audience that laughs appreciatively when he talks about how stupid the American voters are.
Oh,
you know, I
that's
mean,
a
he,
really good point.
They were loving this guy. He's got a career on the rubber chicken circuit right now. I mean, he could.
Friendly audience. He found a lot of friendly audiences, didn't he? I can't believe how many people saw him speaking in all these places and nobody thought badly of it.
That's actually the most disturbing part, isn't it?
Yeah. What did Buckley used to say, I would rather be governed by the first 200 people in the Boston phone book than the faculty of Harvard. Yeah, I know what he means.
Sounds all right to me.
Yeah.
Yep.
Actually, you just touched on something interesting, because you're right. All these people sat in these rooms and probably paid money to do it and listened to this guy admit they lied repeatedly about what was actually going to happen. They purposely wrote the program to avoid revealing its true cost so that even the CBO, that's the Congressional Budget Office, couldn't score it correctly. And you're right. Nobody said, hey, you know, lying to the American people about legislation might be a bad thing.
No.
Passing something under false pretenses is, you know, unethical.
No, they all laughed along with it. It is so important to be part of the cool kid club. You know, you never want to be the kid who says, wait a minute, this might not be a good idea.
Yes, that was our exclusive interview with some guy who worked on the staff, according to Barack Obama. Of course, Nancy Pelosi in 2009 identified John Gruber as the architect of Obamacare, but we all know she's nuts. Meanwhile, since the holidays are coming up, we wanted to offer a few suggestions for some family film viewing that everyone could enjoy.
Looking at those photos of those enlightened ISIS people, having such a great time at the embassy, having pretty much that frat party you mentioned.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, me and Igor, that was almost grammatical, wasn't it? It should actually be Igor and I. And it's spelled Igor, so it's Igor and I. Did a little focus group testing because I think there's a niche market that we as creative people are missing. And we decided to go look for some approved Sharia flicks for today's Islamists.
That is so nice of you guys.
I mean,
more public.
After a long day of beheadings and crucifixions and raping of nuns, where does a good Islamist go to unwind a little bit?
Because really, not everyone has a green swimming pool to jump into. Some Islamists are stuck in the desert. That's a good point. They deserve recreation as much as anyone.
You know, and in fact, they might be all out of nuns to rape. And, you know,
and you just, they might have beheaded them all and... I think they still draw the line at necrophilia, or have they gotten over that as well? I don't recall.
I don't know. And if they are, the UN hasn't told us, and they won't tell us.
No one will tell us.
Yes. But together with my faithful production producer, Igor, we did some focus testing on a group of target audiences, and they were separated by gender. And here's just a few of the titles they particularly approved of. The Princess Child Bride. They liked The Good, the Bad, and the Jews. One Head Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Another one that they really kind of enjoyed, Taxi Bomb Driver. Let's see. And then I think the biggest favorite was Beach Party Beheading.
Good time.
Oh, there's another ball for you. They could play beheaded volleyball, you know? I mean, wow.
The fun never ends out there. My
wow.
Oh, my.
Those guys know how to party. Holy
These guys
God.
Are green. They recycle, they reuse, they repurpose.
Wow.
Okay. But
I'm
there
so
was
glad
one...
that we got over looking at ourselves as superior or something.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Okay. There was one last title, though. We you know, Igor and I really thought it was going to be like a winner. And, you know, it had everything, including camels. And it was called There's Something About Muhammad. So that one they weren't so crazy about. But I'm going to be doing some – I'm going to start a crowdfunding campaign. And I think Beach Party Beheading was sort of the – was the clear favorite. So –
And now, because we're also interested in educating our younger audience, a brief educational segment on why Sarah Palin is stupid.
All right, yeah. So Igor is mopping the mighty brow, and he's waving a script at me once more. So, I guess we'll get... he is a talented... I mean, how else can he play Boogie Woogie if, you know, he didn't have, like... He's ambitrunstious, actually.
Oh, boy. Come on.
Anyway, so Igor is he's now thundering over toward me, and he's saying, damn it, man. Get back on the text. Igor is very – he loves the text. He respects the written word, as do we all.
Sarah Palin, she's stupid.
Yes, that's right. It's
Everyone
time
knows
for,
that.
It's time for another educational segment reminding everybody why Sarah Palin is stupid. And to get us started on that insightful journey to right thinking, because everybody and all the best people know that Sarah Palin is stupid, let me bring on scary smart Jamie K. Wilson to break it down for you.
All right. Quick, off the top of your head, what's the White House address? Both of you.
1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Would you have said
Washington,
the same
D.C.?
Thing? Yeah, well, Washington,
yeah.
D.C., yeah. But would you have said the same, Griff?
I think I might have, but I would have had to think about it because it's not something
yeah.
I think about a lot.
No.
Yeah, and
unless I'm planning on jumping the fence, running into the place, playing rugby with one of the Secret Service people and running back out.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
Other than that, no.
Back out. He got through the whole house, though. Well, the whole
wow, okay.
House. Yeah, so anyway, yeah, Sarah Palin, like me, frankly, did not remember the address to the White House. And as, you know, one of her comments on a speech at the Value Voters Summit last week, she accidentally said 1400 Pennsylvania Avenue instead of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
What a freaking idiot. Oh, my
I
God.
Know.
There you have it, America. Proof positive that.
Yeah.
Igor? Proof positive.
Sarah Palin. She's stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am so glad they finally have some proof of that because they've been saying that for, what, 6 years now?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
thank
they said
God.
It all that day, too. They had so much fun with it, just talking about how stupid she is.
Oh,
but
my God, what an idiot. Yeah.
Sarah? But Sarah handled it really well. She posted a tweet saying, "That's why my Christmas cards keep getting returned."
That was a great remark.
Yes, and then she took a picture of herself at 1400, shrugging her shoulders, saying, "You know, the whole verbal, the nonverbal language." Sorry, didn't remember. But she sent that to CNN's Jake Tapper, which I thought was also really classy.
Wow.
Funny.
But, yeah, but nobody else seemed to give her any kind of a break on it. But I can list some things that are stupid that she would not do.
Such as?
Well, go ahead.
Let's hear it. I'm ready because right. I'm sorry. I need to be convinced because, you know, again, all the best people in America have been telling me and – they've been telling me Sarah Palin is stupid, and they know best. I mean, they knew that Obamacare would save people $2,500 a year.
Yeah,
Nancy Pelosi told me everybody's premiums would go down. I mean,
they told us we would save 3,000% on our insurance premiums. President Obama himself said that.
So you're asking me to doubt these brilliant lights in American life. So I'm going to be open-minded. I'm willing to be convinced.
Gotcha.
But
all right. Well, one thing that she would not do is skip reading her daily intelligence briefing.
Hmm.
Now, who's done that?
I don't know. Maybe the president? Maybe the 5 days before the 9/11 2012 incident, which we lost an ambassador. He skipped all of his daily intelligence briefings.
No. Okay.
That might have
Say
happened.
It again a little more clearly. He who?
He who, Obama who.
So
he skipped the 5 days of daily intelligence briefings before 9/11/2012.
But, I mean.
Wait a minute. That can't be.
No, it can be because obviously if President Obama is doing it, it was the right thing to do. You know, Griff, there are some things that we don't understand because we're not smart enough, but the president has that towering intellect. So I'm sure there was a reason.
I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, how could the smartest president ever, how could this Nobel Peace Prize winner not pay attention to the intelligence briefings? I mean, it couldn't be that he had golfing and fundraising to do. It couldn't be that.
Oh, you mean the thing that he never, ever misses?
Guys, we cannot hope to operate on the same intellectual plane. If he is skipping them, there is a reason, because we know he's brilliant, okay? He's not stupid, he's brilliant, so.
Okay, well, I'm just going to make a note there. But do go on. Do tell me what else Sarah Palin would not do.
Yes, please, by all means.
She would never say 57 states.
No, I got to agree with you.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe this was the Obama's, you know, not only is he a great human being, a Nobel Peace Prize winner, perhaps he's actually a prophet.
Mm.
Perhaps he was actually prophesizing, you know, the breakup of certain states, like California wants to break up into, some people in California will break up into six states.
Yeah.
That's 56 right there. and
right.
we had Puerto Rico 57. I say
yeah, he the territories.
He was prophesizing, he was witnessing the glory to come.
Yes.
That explains so much. That really does. So anyway,
yes.
another thing she would not do, another dumb thing she would not do is block the Keystone Pipeline.
Well, again, intelligent people know that the Keystone Pipeline would pretty much be the end of the world, okay? So President Obama is a custodian of our planet, and he uses his keen superior intellect to keep us all safe, and that's what he's doing.
Right, spending it on Chinese solar panels instead of Keystone, yeah, okay.
Because it's better for the planet.
It is. All the rare metals they use, all the strip mining they have to do in Africa, he's actually creating employment opportunities for the underserved African community. And then also, to me, that explains why he's always out in the fresh air, in God's natural environment, the way God intended to be made with a putting green. He is constantly monitoring the environment for our betterment. That is why he doesn't sign off for the Keystone Pipeline, because as Ms. Always Right correctly, since she is always right, has stated, the Keystone Pipeline would in fact be the end of civilization. No, wait.
Not even, that would be a good thing, actually, the end of civilization, but it would be the end of Mother Gaia, the planet, and that would be bad.
Right.
So that'd be like Republican rape of the Earth. Once more, he is looking out for us.
And very, very intelligently so, in ways that people like us or that idiot Sarah Palin could never fathom.
Okay. I don't know. I think you might be losing this round, Scary Smart, because but do go on, please, you know, because we are fair and just and open-minded here at the Right Wing Riot.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, let's go to the next one. And I'm going to quote this exactly as it was originally used, not as the media keeps phrasing it. She would never use "don't do stupid shit" as a foreign affairs motto.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm having trouble defending. All right, here we go. Ready?
Yeah.
Okay. obviously, Dear Leader is so comfortable on the world stage and such an admired leader that he is able to casually toss off salient principles such as that, and everyone can pretty much understand clearly what he is saying. It's so simple. It's brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I just want to bask in the philosophical depths that, I mean, this is like a Zen cone that they need to be teaching at the International School of Diplomacy. If people only followed that golden mantra, don't do stupid shit, I mean,
the world would be so much better.
In fact, I'm going to write that down. I'm going to change the banner on the Right Wing Riot website right now. And I think I can just eliminate all other graphics, content, text, videos, headlines.
Yeah.
I mean, let's throw out the Ten Commandments. This is like the commandment.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's brilliant in its simplicity. It's the unifying principle. It's like the one particle theory. You know,
Einstein is spinning in his grave and kicking himself because he didn't say that.
Right, because you can really fit any intelligent policy within that umbrella. So, it's brilliant. Ah. You know, I understand that Columbia University School of Political Science is actually adding that course next spring, in the spring semester, so that people can study how to do that properly in their policies.
Yeah. Wow.
The
points are going against you here, Scary Smart. But keep trying.
I'm impressed here. I'm really impressed with you guys.
Okay. We lived here a while.
Yeah. All right. Sarah Palin would never bow to foreign heads of state.
No, she wouldn't bow to anyone. And
that's because
again,
she doesn't have any class, right? Because
yeah.
she's She's trailer trash, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
totally.
She
not,
went.
Not sophisticated. She doesn't understand customs of foreign countries. Yeah. You know,
she went to
rubes.
Six. What? She went to six schools. She was a beauty queen contestant to pay for college. I mean, who with any self-respect does something like that? I mean, I wish I had some Hillary music here because, you know, Hillary didn't do that. She just married a guy and stayed with him for 40 years when he serially, you know, cheated on her and involved her in a number of unsavory events.
Well,
but, you know, she has dignity. She has gravitas.
They were the first to redefine marriage, I think, the Clintons, in fact.
Yeah.
You can't bring up Bill if you're going to talk about trailer trash. Sorry.
But see, Hillary lifted him. Her presence, she purified his history.
She elevated
with her.
Him.
Yes, yes. It was like being touched by an angel.
Oh.
And
I know that Hillary turned down at least three different offers, too, to participate in beauty contests back in the day. Because she really was
sure.
A knockout. Yeah.
Sure.
So she could have easily, probably if she and Sarah Palin were in the same beauty contest, Hillary would have kicked her ass.
Yeah.
And
I have to say, Hillary was also so smart, she's never actually had to run a business to support herself. And, you know, whereas Sarah Palin, she was so dumb, all she could do was, she couldn't get a job, so she had to make one with her husband and, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that's pathetic.
And hire people.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to do that.
Big blase. Yeah. My goodness.
Whereas Hillary just asks people for money and they give it to her.
No,
that's
she's
true.
Actually an investment genius, too. She's one of those people who just has a knack, you know. She can turn, like, $100 into $100,000 overnight. She's awesome. Genius.
If I remember right, she asked somebody for that money, too. They loaned it to her.
Are you serious? So she didn't even use her own capital?
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, genius.
I'm pretty
she
sure.
Used her intellectual capital, her personal capital. Her. She lent her charisma to this person to prove. Yeah.
I'm so impressed right now. I could faint.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have about a half a dozen more of these. How many more do you want
to take? Well, ask Igor. It's up to him. I could do this all day. I'm so inspired. I'm going to float out of the room in a minute. My gosh.
And in fact, let's see. I think we got to do this. What? Igor? That's just to keep you from drifting away until
please,
the show's
let
over.
Me
wow.
Stay. Let me stay. I love learning at the feet of these modern-day prophets. Oh, we're so blessed to have them walk among us. Please let me stay.
Oh, Igor, what do you say? Igor?
Please. Thank you.
I think it was the tears. The quivery tears in your eyelashes that really moved him there, because, as I said, he is sensitive that way. Why don't you give us about three more? This is so much fun, we just have to do this again, because it is fun to prove how stupid Sarah Palin really is, because by doing so, I feel superior, and I feel at one with my betters, who will, in fact, never speak to me. But it's just nice to know that I have right think in my life.
Yes.
All right. Let's go to the next one then. Sarah Palin would never stir up racial strife in the name of healing racial divide. Never.
In the name of what?
Healing racial divide.
Oh.
Mm.
Well, that's obvious. I mean, come on, what, you know, she's like a total cracker from like Whitey White, Alaska. So you can't expect her to understand things like nuance and racial strife.
That's
no,
true.
No doubt her Indian husband is just a beard. You know, he's mostly Inuit. Or not Inuit. Inupiaq.
Well, okay. He looks white to me. So if he is, he's a white Inuit.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Oh, so he's an apple. He's red on the outside and white on the inside. He is a sellout. Unlike Barack Obama, who has never changed his name. To make himself more palatable to a certain group. No, Barack Obama has remained true to himself and his roots throughout his entire public, political, and perhaps private career. Although we don't know much about his private career or his collegiate career, but we don't need to, because our betters tell us that's none of our business. what is our business are fake records of George W. Bush's service and the National Guard.
Fake
That's
but
important.
Accurate. Fake but
yes.
accurate. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
all right, I think Igor is telling me. Igor, wait. Okay, the trunk is waving.
Oh, she's
well,
agitated.
Let me just end by saying one more thing.
Okay, Igor will allow that.
Thank you, Igor.
I just want to say, all things considered, I kind of wish Obama didn't know the address of the White House either.
Yeah. Damn, where's my... Igor, where's the rim shot music? You missed it. Oh.
Scary
okay.
Smart. I could say that there's probably a really good chance that he doesn't.
Okay, I'm sorry. I've got to take Igor to the woodshed because
great.
He is... Okay, now he's
no.
sulking. Now he's sulking. Igor. Okay.
I'm sorry.
Don't be that way. Wait. He's cheering himself up. He's cheering all of us up now.
He is emotionally incontinent today.
Hey, Igor. Turn it down a little bit. Down. Back it off.
Can you handle him a little? I mean,
you know, he is a handful, actually.
Yeah, I mean, he really needs some settling down today.
I think his blood sugar's off or something. I've got to
something's
you know,
a little
screwy, butter.
I think. After the show, I think you should probably check him over.
Okay. Well, I've checked with our nonpartisan judges from the IRS, and they indicated that, in fact, you didn't make your case, Scary Smart. So the fact remains, the judges have indicated... Yes, it's what we've always known.
Sarah Palin? She's stupid.
Yep.
But now, on a lighter note, let's learn how to laugh with liberals. And now, a great big welcome to all of our listeners in Blue State America. As they join us for another edition of Laughing with Liberals.
And it's time for another special report from the educational people at the Right Wing Riot. We laugh because we care. And today, this is no laughing matter because conservatives aren't funny. We know this from according to people who do know, like Pulitzer Prize-winning cartoonist Gary Trudeau, and perhaps everybody in Hollywood. And there's no way a conservative is intelligent enough to understand the humor offered by Barack Obama, a.k.a. the smartest president ever. So, in keeping with our mission to deliver public service satire, the right-wing riot is here to help those doltish conservatives understand the sophisticated witticisms offered up almost daily by Barack Obama. But first, to set the scene, let's just take a listen to his latest appearance at the Comedy Caucus in beautiful downtown Estonia. Igor?
And even as we meet conventional threats, we need to face other challenges. And that includes propaganda campaigns that try to whip up fears and divide people from one another. We have to uphold a free press and freedom of speech, because in the end, lies and misinformation are no match for the truth. Democracy will win, because the government's legitimacy can only come from citizens. Because in this age of information and empowerment, people want more control over their lives, not less. Because more than any other form of government ever devised, only democracy, rooted in the sanctity of the individual, can deliver real progress.
Wow.
He is freaking killing.
That's amazing, right? I mean, that's just funny. funny stuff.
Did he deliver all those lines with a straight face?
You know, he's great at acting like a straight man.
Oh my God.
But you know, but now you know, again, most conservatives don't get it. So let's break it down for our humor impaired conservatives to tell them exactly what makes it funny, in the hope that with just a little in-depth analysis, and remember, you've got to pay attention here, and we're no playing Castleville, you too can grasp the concept of true humor. So we're going to take this from the top, and this is like a little brief college course for constipated comedic conservatives to understand the true depths of the no coward-like humor that Barack Obama presents us almost every day. So let's take it from the top with this typical bon mot.
And even as we meet conventional threats, we need to face other challenges.
Okay, here he's setting up the joke.
And that includes propaganda campaigns that try to whip up fears and divide people from one another.
That never gets old.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So
the question is, why is that funny? Scary Smart, you want to take a shot at that?
Maybe because the propaganda campaigns are coming from Obama's own camp.
Oh,
okay. Ooh. So it's because liberals know that Barack Obama's entire short effort at, quote, leadership, unquote, is predicated on rewarding our friends and punishing our enemies.
So it's
ironic. Get it? Okay.
Irony.
It's pretty high-level concept, but roll with it, you Republican dunces.
And not the hipster version of irony either. This is irony in the original sense.
That is why.
It is Greek irony.
That's right.
It goes right along with those columns that he used to stand in front of.
Remember that.
This is great stuff. It's worthy of Mark Twain, just in my humble opinion, another noted American humorist who is dead. So here, I want you to listen to this line.
You're
going to
get investigated. That was a threat.
But no, this is educational, so I think it's okay. We're enlightening the red state masses. Masses of what? They never say. So here, listen to this line that Louis C.K. wishes he had the courage to use.
All right.
We have to uphold a free press and freedom of speech.
He's a master of the setup.
Because in the end, lies and misinformation are no match for the truth.
that's just great.
That's rich.
It really is. So, of course, wait, I've got a caller here on the screen who wants to know why is that funny? Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm going to answer you, Rush, in New York. Most progressives haven't need to pay attention. Okay. I'm going to say it slowly now. It's funny. Wait, that was the NSA just buzzing me. Most progressives haven't need to pay attention, and they understand it. But, see, the Obama White House has been merciless in their attacks on their enemies. That's a typo. The whistleblowers and the journalists they talk to, they've put more whistleblowers in jail than Bush ever tried to. So it's the contrast for comedic effect that's so funny. Rush says, I don't get it. Okay, we got another one. Okay, this one brought the house down. People were falling out of their seats.
Democracy will win.
Okay, wait for it.
Because the government's legitimacy can only come from citizens.
Man, I just love his delivery on that. I mean, he pauses, and it's so perfectly timed. It takes the audience a second for it to really sink in, and then they're just crying.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah. Wait, another caller here on the board. This is Anne, also from New York City. She goes, wait a minute, why is that funny? You want to take this one, Scary, or should I?
Well, I see a lot of ways you could go with it. For one thing, has he been catering to citizens or has he been catering to non-citizens lately?
Ooh. Oh,
exactly.
I get it.
And that's the subtlety. This is subtle stuff.
Because
the liberal audience, you understand, has a nuanced comprehension of the definition of the word citizen. And they understand.
So, like, Obama would take it literally when he said citizen.
Yeah. The red staters, they think citizen, they think laws and, you know, constitution. But the sophisticated.
Citizen of the world.
The blue state, citizens of the world, the sophisticates, they understand that Obama means anybody I say is a citizen, whether the law was passed by Congress or not. So you see what's happening here is the audience is sharing an inside joke with the comedian, and that's the kind of thing that people love.
Oh, how can we ever hope to catch up? How can we ever... Yeah. Fit in and get this. My God.
I'm sweating right now just trying to explain this because,
like a cave dweller.
We won't hold it against you because you're mysterious and alluring. But if there's anybody else.
Well,
yeah,
in my cave. And she lives in her closet.
She does.
I guess, yeah, if my closet is
like
a cave.
So it's like a cave.
Yeah. Cave like
a porta-cave, sort of. Let's have another sample.
Please,
because
I think
witticism.
I'm finally getting it. Yeah, I'm starting to get
okay,
it.
Okay, it's starting to dawn on you? Good. So let's have one more sample, shall we?
All right.
Because in this age of information and empowerment...
I love this next bit.
People want more control over their lives, not less. Because more than any other form of government ever devised, only democracy... rooted in the sanctity of the individual.
Oh,
can deliver
me.
Real progress.
It's like he did not.
You know, I mean, they just love this guy. And you can see why, can't you? I mean, it's just brilliant. Brilliant stuff.
Yeah. Oh, my God. He's a genius.
Okay, wait. Here's something from Glenn in Salt Lake City.
All right.
He says, it doesn't make any sense to me. What's funny about that? Oh, seriously? Okay. I'll speak slowly so you might be able to get it. He says, people want more control over their lives, not less. That's hysterical because liberals know Obama's increased the size of the federal government several times over. And now he's forcing Americans to buy insurance whether they need it or not. This is comedy gold.
Well, not just insurance that covers all kinds of things that they may not want. So,
precisely
so other
the
people
insurance
are taking care.
They must buy. Yeah.
Listeners, do you not see the brilliance of what this man is doing? I mean, this is Jonathan Swift hangs his head in shame that he hasn't been, you know, producing this kind of material. And Barack Obama's been doing it consistently day after day, golf course after golf course, fundraiser after fundraiser. He is just on fire.
He is a wizard,
Yeah. But, you know, wait. Okay, the board's lighting up now. I've got all these people saying, you know, what is this? Abilene, Texas, Salt Lake City, Omaha, Nebraska.
You know who those are. Kansas, probably.
And it's just, you know, I don't get it. This doesn't make sense.
It's not funny.
Your mom doesn't love you and dresses you funny. You know, they're just not there.
That's true. We know that.
Yeah. Well, right-wing Wyatt, Riot Girls, I'm kind of sad. I mean, if we have to choose, if we're just forced to explain the nature of this sophisticated comedy to a slow, close-minded, racist, xenophobic, anti-woman, rape culture conservative audience, I'm losing hope that this education project will be productive. Maybe it's true that the conservatives aren't funny.
I can't get it. Yeah.
Well, you know what? We're just going to have to try again.
Mm-hmm.
Join us next time for more sophisticated humor that we'll have to explain to those slow conservatives on Laughing with Liberals. But we can't forget everybody's favorite pachyderm and radio show producer, our very own Igor Pachydermatis. Show without a brief and thoughtful appearance from everybody's favorite Pajama Boy. It's time for another fable from the big book of comforting fairy tales for delicate liberals. Read for you by Uncle Prince of White Bread. Once upon a time, there was a little red hen. She lived on a farm with all kinds of animals, and like any good red, she believed that the proletariat should rise up against the farmer to bring about the promised earthly paradise in which all animals would live, from each according to their means to each according to their needs. One day, she decided she wanted some bread. Well, of course, the farmer only brought her corn because he was saving all the soft, tasty wheat for himself. The evil capitalist. So she gathered together a few dozen kernels of leftover corn.
What's a capitalist, Uncle Prince?
Well, Pajama Boy, a capitalist is a terrible exploiter of the proletariat who controls the means of production and claims he built his business on his own when we know...
They didn't build it themselves. They sound like bad people.
Oh, they are, Pajama Boy. And they have a terrible fashion sense. So the little red hen said, I'm going to plant some corn. Would any of my comrades care to help?
Nay, said the horse. And bah, from the goat. The rooster just crowed.
Well, I'll just plant them myself. I'm best at scratching in the dirt anyway.
So she did. Planting and watering the grains of corn painstakingly.
Would any comrade care to help me tend the plants? She said daily.
And do you know what they said to her?
The rest of the animals were already providing according to their means.
You are so smart. At last, the day came to harvest the corn. Now the hen was very good at digging and scratching, but she wasn't so very good at cutting plants down.
Comrades, I could use a hand, or a claw, or a hoof.
What happened then, Pajama Boy?
All of the other animals were busy, Uncle Prince, each according to their means. She shouldn't have asked, because she had the means to do it herself, and she should have.
So she sized up the task. She pecked at the ear. It took 6 or 7 pecks each, and she was exhausted in the end. But at last, a dozen fresh ears of corn lay in a row before her.
I can use some help grinding, comrades. Surely one of you hoofed ones might be able to do me that favor.
She wasn't very smart for a red hen.
Reds aren't known for their big brains. She found 2 rocks and rolled them over and over the corn until it cracked and turned into powder. It took her days, but she had her flour for bread.
Anyone up for baking?
she clucked, but the other animals ignored her because they were busy doing the people's work. Now, baking was far easier than planting and tending and harvesting and grinding. And soon, the tempting aroma of fresh bread filled the coop and then the barnyard. And do you know what happened next, Pajama Boy?
Uh-huh. The little red hen became greedy and wanted to keep the bread all for herself, instead of sharing it with the workers. But Dear Leader came and redistributed it, because at some point, you've made enough bread.
Time for bed now. Be sure to say your prayers to Dear Leader, so he'll look after you for the rest of your days.
Good night, Uncle Prince. I just love Dear Leader more than anything in the whole wide world.
We know you do, Pajama Boy. And if that's not enough... Well, I guess that is enough. Producer Igor, in his own inimitable way, has just told me that we're about out of time. We did want to take a moment and say thank you very much to our generous internet host, Daria Ann DiGiovanni, and a special word of thanks to the bloggers and readers who have spread the word about the right-wing riot in Shrewsbury. We appreciate it very much, and we'll do our best to be worthy of your affection and your love. And that's it. We'll see you next week.
We're out of time for today's riot. You can find us on the web at rightwingriot.com. No hyphen, all one word. Right Wing Riot. Thanks to our generous internet radio host, Daria Ann DiGiovanni.